Enemies of prayer, part 2. Start continuing from last week. Midweek service. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible said, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Meaning of that is that it is possible to faint, or it is possible to give up on praying. Prayer is a very, very important, very, very potent, and very, very impactful force that is critical to life and destiny. Very potent, impactful force. Prayer it was that dismantled the evil plot of Haman. I'll give you 4 instances of the potency and the impactfulness of prayer. First of all, prayer it was that dismantled the evil plot of Haman in the land of Persia to eliminate the Jews. Prayer, the prayer of Queen Esther, collapsed the plot. Prayer it was that terminated the age-long barrenness of Hannah. Prayer coupled with sacrifice. It was potent enough to dismantle the barrenness that lasted for a long time. Thirdly, prayer it was that opened the heavens and closed the heavens at will under the ministry of Elijah. He decided through prayer when it should not rain. And he decided through prayer when it could rain. Talking about the potency and the impactfulness of prayer. Prayer it was that brought fire from heaven. In the ministry of Elijah, that led to the judgment of the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth. So the devil knows the potency of prayer. He knows the power of prayer. And he is ready to deploy any force to hinder our prayer lives, all of us. Because when I say your prayer life, it means I excluded myself. And the devil is no respecter of persons. He's after everyone's prayer life. What are the forces? Number one, we looked at last Sunday, was the guilt of sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Number 2 was the spirit of discouragement. I am tired. I've been going to church. No result. Number 3 was the lack of value for the spiritual. Lack of spiritual priorities. We looked at that last Sunday. Lack of value for the spiritual. Lack of spiritual priorities. Number 4, the pressures and distractions of life. the pressures and the distractions of life. They pulled people, they pulled Samson, they pulled Esau away from God and their prayer lives. We're going to go to number 5 today. Very, very important, and it is called the trap of success. The trap of success. Success is a trap that make many abandon their spirituality. The trap of success. Take note of two things. Spirituality is easy to uphold in adversity, but spirituality is also easy to discard in prosperity. Spirituality is easy to uphold in adversity, and spirituality is easy to discard. In prosperity. That is why some rich people think that it is poor people that have the need for God and the need for church. Second thing to note is close to the first, that most people remember to pray in times of challenge, but forget to pray in times of success. They are closely related. Most people remember to pray. I mean, prayer is easy in times of challenge, but most forget to pray in times of success. I mean, look at very, very easy. They brought the news to you that they have taken your name to a herbalist or a native doctor or a witch doctor, and they kept on sending some text message or messages to you bordering on threat to life. That's just, look at that simple example. It just puts you on a fasting and a prayer, and you are going to contact the pastor, and you are going to do this and that, and your prayer life will increase until the threat fades away and you sink back to normal. That is just some example that bother to even those who are Christians. The person who exemplifies this position the most in scripture is the prodigal son. The prodigal son remained with his father when he didn't have his own, his property, his portion. Luke chapter 15 verse 11 all the way to verse 18. Time will not fulfill me to read it. The certain man who had two sons, and the younger one says, give me the portion of good that falleth to me, and he divided to them his living. And then after many days, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. For as long as he did not have the good that belonged to him, he was with his father. Many of us are with the father when we don't have possession yet. Many of us are with the father when we don't have money yet. When we don't have possession yet. When we don't have position yet. When we don't have visa to travel yet. Many of us are with the father when we have not become qualified professionals yet. But by the time this man, young man, got his possession, he took him away from the father. The Bible said he went into a far country. Many people who used to be firebrand in the university are far from God today. Many people who used to be, I heard of a certain chief executive, I won't mention a name in this country, big man in this country, a certain level, that I heard that during the university days, he was the prayer band coordinator of his campus fellowship. If I mention the name today, you'll be shocked at where that man is right now in terms of the realm and scheme of things. When there was no money, no possession, he was with the father. And this prodigal son's father typifies the heavenly father. But when he got his goods, he went far from the father. But it gets interesting. When the money finished, he returned back. There are people you will never see in church. You know, I used to see some people once in a while. He used to be the former so-and-so, big in the country. He used to be former so-and-so. They are looking for appointment to be prayer or something. I asked myself once in a while, I said, when you are in that position, why didn't you look for God? Why didn't you look for God? Why didn't anybody hear that you branch church? That is it. It's called the trap of success. The trap of success that make people. Who is God? I mean, one woman came to me with her husband, and she said, "Excuse me, sir, please talk to my husband." Don't worry, sit down. I said, "What is it?" He said he used to be prayerful before. He used to wake up in the midnight to pray. But he doesn't pray now. You won't believe what the man told me with his mouth. I said, "Why? Your wife is complaining." He said, "Yes. Those times things used to be very hard." Not another person told me with his mouth. He said, "Things used to be very hard. But things have become better." And Jehovah heard it. God heard it. Things have become better. I said, "You know what? You are at risk now the most. That you think things are better. That you think things are better. You are at risk now the most. If there is any time to pray, it is now." I mean, the prodigal son is typical of this disconnection from spirituality because of prosperity, and reconnection to spirituality because of adversity. Solomon was another example. Solomon knew God. He was passionate for God. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 to verse 11, verse 3. All the way, Solomon loved the Lord. He walked in the statutes of the Lord. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And then God appeared to Solomon. And Solomon said, "I don't know how to go in or out. I need your help to do your will and to do your work." That is the summary. And God gave Solomon the wisdom. When Solomon was small in his own eyes, he was a little boy. He said, "I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't even know anything." Then suddenly Solomon became wealthy. Solomon became rich. And then Solomon began to marry wives. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 100, 101, 102, 200, 201, 203, 300, 301, 302, 400, 401, 403, 500, 501, 600, 601, 600, 700. Hola, hola. As if something was pursuing Solomon. Solo, solo. But the worst part of it is yet to come. The worst part of it is 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 3 to verse 6. That is worse than marrying so many wives. This is worse. And he had 700 wives. Princesses, which means the daughter of the king of Egypt, the daughter of the king of Ammon, the daughter of the king of Moab, the daughter of the king of... And 300 concubines, that is the 700 wives are separate from 300 girlfriends. The 700 are official. That is, marriage ceremony happened. But that is not what it was. Please keep reading. Look at what it was. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, this same boy that loved the Lord offered 1,000 burnt offerings, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Mind you, David also had some feminine problem, but his own didn't reach the level of Solomon. Neither did his own reach the level where his heart went from God to other gods. So, for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. He began to look for that god and bow for it. And after Milcom, the Bible calls it the abomination of the Ammonites, he went to Sodom. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his son. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not only did Solomon marry these wives, nobody forced Solomon to serve those gods. Nobody. He went after them. They didn't come after. He went after them. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. He was building temples for them. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. How many temples did Solomon build for God? One. How many wives did Solomon marry? 700. How many temples did he build for the wives? 700. How far can a person go from God because of money? I remember a man. He used to be a very, very dedicated usher in his church. Suddenly God lifted him up. He became very, very important. Wealthy billionaire. B. Had private jets. Had everything. He was disconnected from his spiritual father, whom I know and whom you know, but I will not mention name. Great, great man of God. Anytime this man of God was he would be there to carry his bag, usher him personally. This man went so far from God until he became so occultic that he told his wife, he wanted to kill his wife. He told his wife, please, can you agree to die? I will give you half of my wealth if only you will agree to die. So the woman looked at her and said, so if you give me half of the wealth, what will I do with it when I have died? What will a dead person do with money? The occultic, because the devil does not have good gifts, that money didn't go anywhere. After a while, everything crashed to zero. Somebody told me he saw him and almost shed tears when he saw him struggling to enter economy class in a plane. The owner of planes, owner of billions, died like a chicken. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I want to encourage you today. My wife is my witness. She knew me from university days. The days of very, very rugged spirituality. There's a man in this church who said he wants to come and give his testimony here on this altar one day about what he knew of me from the university. Where we used to go and pray, he said they used to detect when they are coming. They knew the kind of tongue people are speaking. So they will listen carefully. If it is Brother Paul,
who is tonguing, don't go there, because if you go there, you'll be there for too long. She knew me then and she knows me now. I can travel anyhow I want by God's mercy today. Whether I want to travel by keke napep, tricycle, motorcycle, or by plane, or by any means. I can live anywhere I want today by virtue of his mercy. That is, I want to live anywhere in the world. It's possible. Officially, not going like corner. That is to reside is possible. But that has not... Yesterday she came to the room and met me in deep worship, lost. The fire, the passion, the yearning, the prayer, the tonguing. I fasted more in ministry than I was fasting before I entered ministry. The further we went, the more intense the exercise. And I'm not saying this to brag. But how would you have examples without principles? How would you have principles without examples? I have two counsel on this note. On the issue of the trap of success. The trap of success. Number one. Relate with God based on who he is and not what he does for you. Let him be your God, not because he can give you a car. Let him be your God, not because he can give you a house. Relate with God, not based on who he is. Not based on who he is, not what he does. Daniel 3 and in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you. Nothing will change our position with God or convince us to bow to your God. There is nothing God does or does not do that changes his godness in our life. His godness. Godness and goodness. Nothing. Nothing he does or does not do changes anything. Relate with God based on that. So that you can be stable in prosperity. You can be stable when there is plenty money. And you are still stable when it looks like things are not the way you expect them to be. You are still stable. Secondly, enter into a covenant relationship of no return with God. The covenant relationship of no return. No return. I am yours under all conditions. Under all conditions. Under all conditions. Under all conditions. The kind of relationship that Ruth entered with Naomi. A relationship of no return. Covenant of no return. Ruth chapter 1 verse 16. He said, and Ruth said, entreat me not, don't even beg me to leave you or to return from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also. If it is not only death that will separate us. That kind of covenant that a man enters with his wife, where they say for better, for worse, in prosperity, in adversity. That it doesn't matter, nothing changes my relationship with you. Whatever happens, I am yours. That kind of covenant where you say, Lord, any money that will take me from you, may it never near my hand. Any position in government office that will take me from you, take it away. Anywhere I will go in this world that will make me too big for God, too big for church, don't take me there. That kind of brutal is so brutal, you mean it. God knows you mean it, and the devil knows. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Lift up your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I shall never be the victim. Say it louder, in the name of Jesus, I shall never be the victim of the trap of success. In the name of Jesus. That is the trap of success. That was number five. Number six is the wrong company. Proverbs 13:20. It said, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Your company can enhance your prayer life, and your company can destroy your prayer life. Your company can enhance your prayer life, and your company can destroy your prayer life. In fact, not just prayer life, your spirituality as a whole. Your company can enhance your spiritual life, and your company can destroy your spiritual life. Now, what is the effect of the wrong company? Two things. One, the wrong company can undermine your spiritual principles and trivialize your kingdom commitment. Say that again. The wrong company can undermine your spiritual principles and trivialize your kingdom commitment. Trivialize, commonize, cast aspersion. What do I mean? Let me give an example. Spiritual principles. Your boss said he wants to have a moral relationship with you before you have favor, before you are promoted, before you go forward. You tell your friend, see, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, and I'm not just a born again Christian. I'm a deep one. You tell your so-called friend. They said, "What is that? What are you talking about? You don't know that's what everybody does. What is wrong with that? I didn't know you are such a stupid girl. Is that a question to ask? That is something to neatly do, and nobody will be aware." That is a wrong company who is undermining your... What, it makes you look like a fool for believing your belief. It's not an ordinary bribe. After all, you pay tithe, after you give the bribe. You follow what I'm saying? It just undermines. Then he trivialized commitment. Say, I have to be in church early. Say, are you the one that killed Jesus? You want to carry church on your head? Say, I don't want to touch a dime until I've honored God with my income. He said, wow. So you are among those mumu people they have brainwashed. You are face to face with a wrong company that will not only destroy your spirituality, but destroy your destiny. That is the effect of the wrong company. By their statements, by their actions, the things that mean something to you mean nothing to them. It means nothing. And some of them will make you believe like they are still succeeding without doing what you are doing. But what kind of useless success is that? How successful is a billionaire who is in hell now? Bill Gates, Buffett, all the Apple computers and all of them, all the billionaires in the world, you know, if they don't know their maker and did not live for them, by the time they blink their eyes, one step forward is the flames of hell. Those billions will amount to nothing. What success is that? the most powerful president in the world. I believe Andrew Jackson was an American president. And there was a Methodist evangelist, rugged evangelist, called Andrew Johnson. He was preaching in his day when the Jackson was in the congregation. He said, "The soul that sinneth, he shall die. And everyone who does not know Jesus is on the way to hell." And Andrew Jackson, if you don't know Jesus, you are on your way to hell. He was talking to a sitting president that was present in the service. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not now that people sugarcoat message because somebody is in service, or say things to please somebody who is there, or say things not to offend anybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The second negative influence of the wrong company is the wrong company subtly infect their associates with their wrong character. They subtly influence and infect their associates with their wrong character. So unconsciously you begin to act like them. Proverbs 13:20 already said, "He that walketh with the wise shall be wise." That is, it doesn't matter what the person is saying or not saying to you. As long as you are walking with them, you are close to them, consciously, unconsciously, you begin to behave like them, think like them, reason like them, because association brings assimilation. My wife talked with somebody the other day on a counseling matter and an issue. Spoke with the person. About 3 days later, I was sitting with her and the person, and we were talking. She didn't tell me what she told the person. I said to the person verbatim what she said, including the examples she used. Verbatim. So she said, "As if you were here when I was talking. This is exactly word for word I told the man." It's all right. It is assimilation from association that has lasted for over 35 years. Assimilation. Anybody you don't want to behave like, run from them. I have seen man and husband and wife lie together. Lie. Falsehood. Lie. Like Ananias and Sapphira. Both of them, the same character of lie. Lie, lie. I have seen husband and wife. They didn't plan it. It wasn't rehearsed. I have seen husband, wife, humble wife, married, proud husband. Wife, humble, that I used to know. After a while, became peacock. Man is ostrich, wife is peacock. Not that, that is, you were humble before. Tuyoshe, tuntu, we knew before. Suddenly. That is why, sisters and brothers, be careful who you marry. Your marriage can successfully manage your destiny, or successfully damage your destiny. Someone say a loud amen. What was the prayer life of Samson? Somebody tell me. How prayerful? Okay. The next question is, what are his friends? How prayerful were his friends? None. They are not prayerful people. They are damnable people. Okay. How was the prayer life of Daniel? Buoyant and fireful. Who were his friends? All you need to tell me is who your friends are. I can weigh your spiritometer can be weighed if your friends can be known. It's the wrong company. What is my counsel? One, completely avoid the wrong company. Don't be sociable when wrong company is concerned. Don't be diplomatic as far as wrong company are concerned. There are people who are so diplomatic. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want anybody to think that I hate them. I don't want anybody to think that I don't like them. I don't want anybody to think that I'm antisocial. No way. The Bible says if your hand offend you, if your hand is contrary to your destiny, yank it off. If God can allow you to yank off your body part, how attached is that friend to your life that he cannot be cut off? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not asking you to hate them. The Bible says we should love everybody, but deal with them from a distance. Brother John, how are you? I'm fine, Brother Gabriel. It's a long time I saw you. Oh yes, I have very, very busy with many, many critical matters. When can I visit you? I'm not sure. When I am sure, I'll let you know. Should I send a message? No, I will be the one to send. When I need to, I'll let you know. That is therapy. Treatment. You are still polite. Should I send a message to confirm when to come? No need. Don't bother sending. Just reserve your credit. I will be the one to notify you. When we need to, I will notify you. And when will that be? There are people who are so civilized, so nice, until their niceness is destroyed by the wrong company. Don't love anybody enough to sacrifice your life and yourself and your destiny in order not to displease them. My principle is very simple. Once God is pleased, and my destiny and my life and everything is intact and on course, whatever action I take that offends you, without me planning to offend you, but you took offense when I took the right stand with God and with my conscience, go to hell with your offense. Whatever you want to do with your life, do. Hit your head on the rock. If that is your conviction, feel free. Jam transformer. Many people are so nice until their lives are ruined. Their destinies are ruined. Everything is gone. Because they don't want to offend somebody. It's a new day. There is a time to stand up and say, excuse me, and walk out of a meeting that is not in the interest of your destiny. I sat in a meeting one day. And the conversation was around impact. One said, if I had the money that Benny Hinn has, me too, I will have such level of impact. Another one said, Rehabunki, what am I hearing? Excuse me, people. I was out forever. I value the graces you are talking about. With the kind of heart you have, if they gave you 1 billion, there will still be no impact. Because you will eat it first.
the kind of money that passed through our hand for crusade, it won't pass through the hand of many people. And they won't be thinking, all this money to go to crusade in India, New York, Argentina, London. You mean after the crusade, what would they be balance? For where? God understand. Let me preach from here. Let them hear me there. This money can build a state. This money can buy latest model Range Rover. This money can buy limousine. This money can do this. Can buy many jets. And spending everywhere and going for all manner of crusades. But they won't have no heart to spend it for that purpose. If you see God, ask him. If I have crusade in Lubin now, and what is available is tricycle, I have entered it before you beg me. I have, in fact, you will meet me there. Am I coming? But all of those things mean zero. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One day they said there are two cars. They are brand new cars, good cars, two of them. The price is cheap. I said, how much? And they said, they told me the price of the car. I said, okay, we'll talk later. We'll talk later. They are cheap. I know how many crusades this one can achieve. Hallelujah. So, avoid completely. Avoid the wrong company. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33 said, evil communication will damage good manners. Avoid. Number two, seek the company of people on fire for God. When you see people whose spirituality are authentic, real, seek their company. Acts chapter 4 verse 23, the Bible said they went to their own company and reported what the high priest did. They had a company of firemen that they went into. So, the trap of success. Avoid the trap of success. Avoid the wrong company. Number seven, I have two more, and then we are done. Number seven is the spirit of slumber. Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares. Matthew 26 and in verse 41, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh wants to sleep. Please listen to this as we go. Being alert, okay, alertness and awakeness in the spirit are commanded responsibilities of every child of God. Awakeness and alertness in the spirit are commanded responsibilities of every child of God. Being alert, being awake in the spirit. Now, what brings the spirit of sleep and slumber? Matthew 13:25. That's right. When men slept,
the enemy comes and sows tears. Number one, the spirit of sleep and slumber happens whenever the enemy wants to sow evil seeds. When men slept, this enemy sowed. This will be an alarm in your spirit. Anytime you don't feel like praying, the enemy is trying to sow something. You ain't saying nothing. Anytime you don't feel like praying, the enemy is trying to sow a seed. Anytime the Holy Ghost quickens you to pray, he wants to prevent something the devil wants to sow. Brother was quickened by the Holy Ghost to fast and pray in the year of 1992. Wake up, fast, don't eat today. And by the time it was noon, he smelled good food. He ate the food. That same night he had an oppression. That is 92. This is 34 years. I don't know if that oppression has left yet. I don't know if it has left yet. As at the last time I knew, it hasn't left. Even despite prayer. That is, we have prayed. Young woman with her husband was woken up by 4 a.m. to pray. She felt weak and fell asleep. By 5 a.m., demonic human agents arrived with disastrous encounter. The spirit of slumber is one of the things that prevent people from praying. Every time you begin to become sluggish prayerfully, suddenly, it's likely the enemy is planning to sow a seed. But today, I pray for alertness. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Number two, the spirit of sleep and slumber can happen under the general epidemic climate of prayerlessness. Epidemic climate. Epidemic. In Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 4. 25 and in verse 4. He said, the wise took oil in their vessels. Number 5. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. There were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. The wise virgins were good enough to be wise because they carried oil. The foolish virgins were foolish because they lacked oil. But the tragedy is that all of them bowed to slumber. So you can be holy and you can be wise if you are not watchful. The same spirit of slumbering that is on the unbeliever and on the unserious Christian can fall on you whenever the climate is available. Thirdly, the spirit of sleep and slumber can happen when expectations are delayed. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. Many times, when expectations appear not to
your expectation don't appear to be coming as quick as you thought, the enemy may just suddenly put a blanket of sleep and slumber. This is not just discouragement yet. This is tiredness of praying and you slumber. Today, I pray that everyone here under the sound of this voice will be delivered from the spirit of slumber, the spirit of sleep, the spirit of slumber, the spirit of sleep. You are saying amen, say louder amen. You are saying amen, say louder amen. Say the loud must say amen. What is my counsel? First, only one counsel. Remains stirred up permanently with the fire of the Holy Spirit. That is one reason why it is good to pray a lot in the Spirit. Remain stirred up permanently with the fire of the Spirit. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6 to verse 7, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. It said, the love of God is shed abroad. Tonight, I decree the stirring of the Holy Ghost in the heart of everyone in Jesus' precious name. Finally, so we have dealt with the spirit of the trap of success, the wrong company. The spirit of slumber, number 8, is the spirit of pride. Pride is a great enemy of prayerfulness, because prayer thrives on humility. Pride is a great enemy of prayerfulness, because prayer thrives on humility. Prayerful people are humble, and humble people are prayerful. Don't forget. Prayerful people are humble, and humble people are prayerful. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. Prayerful people are humble, and humble people pray. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Psalm 35 and in verse 13. He said, I humbled my soul, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was my sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. Prayerful people are humble. Humble people are prayerful. Prayerful people are humble. Humble people are prayerful. Prayerful people are humble. Humble people are prayerful. Just let me see anyone who claims to be prayerful and he's arrogant. He's not genuinely prayerful. Anybody boasting with his fasting life is wasting his time. Do you know how many days I can fast? Do you know how many hours I can pray? Those are time wasters. Those are jokers. Real deep spiritual people hardly talk of their spiritual experiences. There are things that you will never hear from my mouth that I have experienced. There are things you may not hear from Papa Adeboye, that you may not hear. Deep people. Where you take people talking cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha like parrot. I saw this, I experienced this, I did that. That has not translated into transformation of lives. That has not translated into tangible manifestations of the power and the presence of God. Time with, these are entertainers. Motivational talkers. If you see anybody who is truly prayerful and has depth with God, he is humble. And if anyone is truly humble, he will pray. It's only arrogant people that don't pray. Why is that so? Let me give you two reasons. Number one, humility makes us look up to God.
And that leads us to prayer. Humility makes people to look up to God. Psalm 34 verse 5. They looked up to him and they were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Psalm 121 verse 1. I will look up to the hills. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Humility makes people look up to God. And pride makes people look up to no one. You can qualify it as well. Semicolon. And pride makes people look up to no one, including God. Makes people look up to no one, including God. You know that prayer demands humility. Humility makes people look up to God, and that leads us to prayer. And pride makes people look up to no one, including God. That's right. Secondly, humility makes people see only God. As the reason for their life's outcome. They see only God. Because the Bible said, without me you can do nothing. John chapter 15, I believe it was in verse 5. But I'm going to qualify it also. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Humility makes people look up to only God as the reason for their life's outcome. Whereas, pride makes people see their outcome, their life's outcome, as the product of their personal effort. Pride makes people see their life's outcome as the product of their personal effort. That is, he's a governor today, he's a president today, he's a senator, he's a billionaire, this or that. He's up here today. He sees he will be praising. See their life's outcome as a product of their personal effort. That was what Nebuchadnezzar did. Daniel chapter 4 verse 30. You see what Nebuchadnezzar said? He said, then the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? For the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, my power, and for the honor of my majesty. Everything you see here, me, Nebuchadnezzar, me, I and myself built it. Look at the next verse. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. Since you say you built it, let us see how you can keep it. Next verse. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth thee to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, you see, No. He was a bird's feathers, bird claw, and walked on the ground like a beast.
God made him to learn zoology. Not by education, but by transformation. He was zoologically transformed. He became an animal to learn animal science.
God said, you say you own Babylon?
Let me show you that you are nothing but an animal. Normal BSc zoology is 4 years. I think his own was 7 years. That is added to master's degree was added. Prof, am I communicating? You know, he registered, yes. After master's, he registered for PhD. Because the master's was 1.5 years and 2 years. He was 1 year into the PhD course. Before God had mercy and said, okay, let us stop the course. Anybody you see proud like Nebuchadnezzar is nothing but an animal. No be me talker. Now so it be for Bible. Somebody say amen.
If somebody say I did all of this by myself.
Somebody came from Abuyedeko. And as they were going out, touring Canaan and everywhere, he said, this is incredible. How do you feel seeing all this kind of achievement? How do you feel? He said, I feel God. I feel God. I feel God. God can be the only person who built all of this. I feel God. The Israeli ambassador came in here yesterday with his officials. Is exiting, and he had been on ground where he had been here for PFM and so on, several meetings. The people they came with, two of them, I think the next in command and then the third person. The woman said, I've been everywhere. I haven't seen a thing like this in my life. And as the other one said, he grew up doing a lot of work, handwork, the kind of thing that happened here. But he hasn't seen a thing like this. They were all wowed. That is Oyibo people. We have seen plenty of Oyibo people wowed. How do you feel? Nothing but God. That makes us lie down flat when necessary. That makes the tears to flow like water when need be. If you want your future sustained, give a knockout blow to pride. Pride is a spirit. Give it a knockout blow from your life. If you want to go where you are going, you want to reach where you are reaching, give pride a knockout blow. Somebody say a loud amen. Those are the two actions I wanted you to take. Number one, reject the spirit of pride at all costs. Give it a knockout blow. He said, Proverbs 16 verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There are people who are generationally proud. Father is proud. Brothers are proud. The lineage is a proud lineage. In fact, there are whole communities of proud people. That is, they may be beggars, but they are still proud. It's not a function of what they have in their body. So who are you to talk to me like this? Who are you? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? He doesn't have anything, no. He doesn't have it. Carry him on up, hit him on the ground. Nothing will fall from it. Nothing can shake out of his body. But he's inside. He's inside, very inside. The day body is like the marks, the zebra lines, the brand marks of a zebra.
You can't wash it with any jig or anything. You can't, nothing can clean it off. It's just inside, it's there. If your life and your nature is like that, fight it. Destroy it.
Some are not married and can't be married because of that. Some cannot be in any government office.
They can't walk. They can't sit under any bus. Insult teacher, insult everybody. Who do you think you are? Do you know me? He's not, you know. Do you know me? Okay, who are you? Tell me, who are you? Do you know me? Who are you? Can you tell me who? Explain in a nutshell, who are you? So that I can know you, since I don't know you. Have you come across people like that? In our place, they say, you don't have money and you're screaming. and you're shouting. You don't have money and you're screaming. You're shouting. On what are you screaming on top of? Some is the screaming of alcoholism.
Hallelujah. Somebody is blessed here, say loud amen. Somebody is blessed here, say loud amen. Somebody is blessed here, shout the loudest amen. And the second thing is, determine to see all the results of your life as the product of God's help. That will keep you in prayer. It will keep you humble. All the results of your life as the product of God's help. He said in John chapter 15 and in verse 15, we read it before. B part said, 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. How many people are trusting the Lord for the revival of your prayer life? You are trusting God that no devil. Stand upon your feet and lift your hands and begin to appreciate God tonight. Father, thank you because of your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your loving kindness. Lift your hands, lift your voice. We worship you. We honor you. We adore you. Lift your hands, lift your voice, and thank him for his word to you today. Thank him. Honor him. Adore him. Glorify him. In the name of Jesus. Lift your hands high and say after me and say, Father. Louder, say, Father. I thank you
for your goodness
and your mercy. I come before you today.
I ask you
to deliver me
from the trap
of success
in the name of Jesus.
I ask Lord
that you deliver me
from the wrong company
in the name of Jesus.
I ask
that you deliver me
from the spirit
of slumber
in the name of Jesus.
I ask
that you deliver me
from the spirit
of pride.
Open your mouth and pray
for 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Lift your hands, I'm giving the praise. Anywhere you are tonight, you are in need of surrender to Jesus or a dedication to God, quickly rush to the front and stay on my right hand side here. Right hand side here. In need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins, quickly run here. Come with your Bibles right here. You want to give yourself to God. You want to rededicate yourself. You know that God has not been happy with you the way you have been living. And you are saying, Pastor, I don't want one leg in church, one leg out anymore. I want to be real with God. I want to be genuine. Run out like this sister just run out now. Quickly, come. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. She's okay there. Quickly run forward here. I don't want to be one leg in church and one leg out.
I want the addiction broken. I want smoking addiction broken, tobacco addiction broken, gambling addiction broken. I want the life of fraud broken. I want the life of bitterness and unforgiveness broken. I want the prostitutious life over. I want to give my life to Jesus. Quickly come forward here. Come quickly, quickly. Run to the front. Father, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Somebody else, you have something happened to you. God changed your life tonight. You experienced something. You got an encounter, a visitation. Somebody's right knee healed and the back is healed and waist is healed. You experienced something definite tonight. And you want God to confirm that experience in your life. On my right hand side here. On the left now. On this other side. I want you to step forward here. To have an encounter, an experience, a visitation, a deliverance on this other side. But those giving their lives to Christ, surrendering their lives to Jesus, in all locations, everywhere you are, all locations, wherever you are, in need of forgiveness, in need of surrender. You cannot have one leg in the church and one leg out of the church. You can't be in church on Sunday and go to the native doctor on Monday. You can't do that. You can't be at the nightclub on Friday and Saturday night and be in church on Sunday morning. It does not work like that. You want to surrender yourself to Jesus right here. Give your life to Jesus. Have forgiveness for your sins. Or rededicate your life right on this side. Place your hand on your chest, all of you right here, and pray this prayer with me. Say after me, say, Lord Jesus. Say it louder. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Forward ever. Backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken of your life. Grace to live for God is released. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.